Let's give everyone a few minutes and we'll get started. Because I would like to, I want to, Avi said he was showing up today because then we can cover the Istio, what he's been doing with Istio. I was also hoping that Christoph would be here to talk about what's going on with the vulnerability management JIRA. But Stephen, I think you've been somewhat involved in that. You've at least been on the email threads I saw. All right, let's get started. I just wanted some status updates. Christoph, I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. I think that you've been handling the you've been looking into the vulnerability management to set up a JIRA, because we had talked about GPG using PGP keys, but then we thought about using a JIRA instead. So have you been following up on this at all?
He's not there. So we have the email thread and there's questions from where we put the requirements in. I sent the requirements in to as a help desk ticket, which may not be a good idea to cross-post a help desk and subcommittee. But then I think there were some questions that need to be followed up on.
That's what I thought there were. So, Steve, do you want to have that assigned to I think that you need that off your plate, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if Christoph takes the lead on that, it could be good. I think we started that there. I mean, I can try to answer the questions, but it's not great to have two people interfering with each other.
Okay, I'm just taking some notes.
I'll try to take notes in the JIRAs as well.
Oh, thank you. This one is it's right now called the it's the SecCom 100 JIRA.
So 101. Okay.
Let me see. It might be 101, but I thought I opened it this morning. 100 is the walkthrough and approve PGP handling. Did you open a second one?
Yeah, I did. Maybe it wasn't great, but it went to 101.
Okay, let me update then. So are you just going to update that JIRA with where we are?
Yep.
Okay, great. Okay, great. Do we want to close out 100 then?
Yep.
Okay, good, thank you. Moving along. Samuli, how are you doing with the UNAP security requirements? And I think Randy, you said, I saw an email, you and Samuli were gonna work on this together because you're doing the same for Acrino.
Yeah, that's right. So if you want, I can just quickly share my screen. Because
please.
I have, anyways, I have just today, not so long ago, I actually completed the first draft, and I stored it in the wiki. So I hope you can see it now.
Yes.
You see the ONAP generic security requirements. So I made a few notes here in the beginning, and also what I propose as the way forward. So let's take those first. So I, as has been said, maybe there are some overlaps with CII badging requirements. I think not too many. So we can think if we have, we would maybe exclude the overlaps from this list. And then I think some requirements are likely needed, some more, especially when it comes to container and Kubernetes specifics, maybe. Then obviously we would review the requirements, as I think Amy, you suggested last time, we might create Jira tickets to to make the reviewing more easy for people to comment and so on. But yeah, I think at least, of course, SecComm should review, but I think preferably also many ONAP projects should participate in the reviewing. And then it has been discussed a bit how to introduce this. So, I mean, not for Dublin as any kind of mandatory thing, but maybe for El Alto, if we start gradually, maybe then we would like to identify the most important ones. Of course, we could just put the whole bunch as mandatory, but they are quite many. So, I don't know. Anyway, you might, those of you who have looked at the ONAP VNF security requirements might see the that I took that as a base very much. And so there are different sections. Sections like general security, identity and access management, API, security analytics, data protection. So it's not many requirements that I actually removed or suggest to remove, but I have some comments here anyway and notes.
Are you going to keep a section on cryptography? Because I think there is one, or there was supposed to be one anyway, in the VNF requirements. I think that's one of the things we added. And I know there'll be some overlap there with the CII badging, but not complete.
Yeah, that's right. It is actually here. I think it was maybe missing from the sort of table.
Oh, there it is. I see it. Yeah, okay, good.
It is here. So in some places you see notes, and then it's just some thinking from myself. Something like to do on non-security architecture level, because not every requirement can just be allocated for every single component, but there needs to be some thinking how to implement this in, let's say, within the whole ONAP. So, yeah, the first version is available there in Wiki.
Great.
So, yeah, I don't know when we would we like to start the reviewing, probably without any any delay, right?
Yeah, I think that's what I would suggest. Just one of my learnings from the VNF requirements is that it does take longer than you expect.
Yeah, that's true. So maybe I could just create the Jira tickets, and then you, Amy, said, I think, last time that you might provide some practical help there or hints how to do it in an efficient way.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
These would be SecComm Jira tickets?
I don't know, I guess.
Does it make sense?
We can do that and put a different label on them, and I can filter out the label into a different list. It's possible.
Okay, because that seems easier than I mean, I don't know that it's particularly difficult to create a new JIRA, but the advantage is that way everybody on the ONAP, on the SecCom JIRA still continues to get notifications of this without subscribing to something else. So I think that's probably, just for practical purposes, that seems like a good way. But whatever you want the filter to be, whatever we want the thing you can filter on to be, that would make sense.
I can set that up. I have set that up for the meetings for the face-to-face and the requirements from that.
Yeah.
So I copied that approach. And, and then it's possible to do a search and a label, and then you get one big list of them all on a new. I mean, we can... Under your page there, we could create a sub-wiki that just has them all similarly.
Oh, I think that's a great idea.
Mm. Okay.
I know Catherine has, like, the TSC page set up that way, where it's got JIRA tickets along the right-hand column.
Okay, and a bit back to what you said, Amy. I mean, to cooperate with Acrinor, I think any LFN project, that's, of course, I think that's only positive. So maybe that's a different question. If in the end the list would become a LFN level set of requirements, but let's take that as a separate question. So.
Right. So, Randy, not to put you on the spot, but can you be involved in the review of this as well? Just because I think it would be useful for you to get some input for Acrinor and see where there's duplication. Because what I'm hoping what we find is for some of these requirements, they can become generic, that they really apply to any LFN type of project.
Right. No. Yeah. Absolutely. No. I think that's a great idea, and I do have a meeting later today. And you know, the Acrinor is really just getting started. We've literally had, you know, two or three meetings. It's as far as the security group, the project's a little bit older, but the security subcommittee is definitely in its infancy. So I think there's more benefits for Acrinor at this point, just because it's, you know, so much smaller. But yeah, but even like you said, to the greater Linux Foundation, because a lot of these requirements are fundamental, you know, I think will translate to many projects. So yeah.
Bye.
Well, great. Similarly, this is great. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks. So I will stop sharing.
So then I guess the next thing to do is just starting to get this into the review process. And Steve, if you can, you said that you'd set up a filter or just...
I'll set up a page and a filter of that. I need two filters, one to exclude them from the main list and then one to include them in the... I know how to do that now. The learning curve is done.
Good. I kind of feel like I need to learn to do that.
Okay.
All right. Great. Oh, good. Avi, you are here. Just two other really quick things. Well, one, because I haven't made any progress on the lab CA. Code of conduct, we've had a little bit of progress on this. Phil Robb's, I got with Phil Robb and submitted and sent him the draft that we put together for an ONAP code of conduct, but I actually modified it to be an LFN code of conduct, because Phil said that what they're trying to do is, what the goal is for LFN is to get all of the projects to get CII badging, so it made sense to just do the code of conduct at the LFN level, layer level. So I believe the next step is to get that in front of the LFN TAC for their consideration. So progress is being made there. I updated the appropriate wikis, or updated the appropriate JIRAs. And if you go to
if there's any sort of pushback at the LFN level, then we should consider at least having an ONAP fallback.
Yes.
That's exactly what we're going to do. If there's pushback, we're just going to do it at ONAP and get it in front of the ONAP DSC and move forward that way. Good point, Tony. So the if you go to either of these JIRA tickets, the proposal is posted to those JIRA tickets. It is actually in the LFN format, but that's fine. That it's at least it's out there if you want to review it. It's really just a minor modification of the contributor covenant version 1.4. with a couple of things, with a few sentences added from some other, like Debian and Ubuntu's code of conduct. It all boils down to be nice to one another and act professionally. I think I saw that Kenny had set up something for the SecCom election.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take these out of order because there's two that are very important right now that we get to. One is the CADI Istio, and the other I want to bring up that Phil Robb again emailed me about that there's some funding from LFN to do a third-party ONAP code base audit. So I'd like to make sure we have time to do that. So Avi, let's cover the CADI Istio first, or the Istio first, and then let's get to the LFN funding, and we'll see what we've got time for after that. So, do you need presentation rights?
No, I have the original presentation I presented. I think it was 2 months ago. I think since. It's now a matter, I think, of priorities and commitment in the community of get a decision to move how we move forward with the sidecar approach. There are a couple of options. It will require also components work. So I think some commitment from components to change, to add the option to configuration, specific security configuration is required. From my standpoint, I took the task of comparing the options. I think we had a meeting to present it. I think it was a month and a half ago, if not more. So I think what we need to decide is what is the next step. I can present this presentation again if it's required. I can do that now. Or we want to discuss what is the next step we want to go and how we proceed in taking this forward.
In my opinion, we've got the recommendation, right? So there's no point to rediscuss. Well, we could if people want it, but there's no value in so much value in presenting. What's missing is the work to champion this route through to the next steps, to find the development team, find the project, and get the next step of the requirements going. I think that's what you're also saying, right, Avi?
Right. This is the and I heard discussed that with Shrini also, and he commented to me that the priority, the TSC priority given to that was a no go to something like no go to Dublin. So I assume this is a bit removed the wind from the sails, right?
But the reason for that is that there wasn't the resourcing. Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. You know, it's like a chicken and egg issue, right? So, I think that maybe
What's needed is to have a champion that wants to sort of drive this, take this forward and to discuss with the projects. I don't know whether it's you, Avi, or whether it's Srini. Because at the moment, it's an unfunded decision, an unfunded mandate.
You know, another. I think there is a recommendation, like you said, but for my discussion with Andrew Baxter, he claimed there is many, you know, hidden backward compatibility stuff need to be taken care of by, you know, by components. So I wonder whether there is a really agreement between all the components to enable something like Istio Sidecar to take over the security aspect of the microservice, because there might be, you know, collisions between the two implementation, which, you know, we will discover that only when we're going to develop, you know, to actual development of that.
Yeah, because the idea was to go ahead with some type of a POC, right? And that should draw out these issues. It wasn't to sort of say, okay, we're ready in Dublin, we're included into the mainstream, but some type of proof of concept to evaluate this. But we haven't got anyone working on that as far as I'm aware.
Right.
Yeah. Let me jump in here, Jonathan. You know, people sort of make some bad assumptions that you can code middleware and have it ready in the same release. It doesn't work that way. So what we did for Andrew is we carved out a little spot inside of the AF repositories, et cetera, for them to start working, getting into the whole shenanigans is what I was going to start, but that's not really what I meant. CI/CD and that kind of thing. And, you know, so it is actually built and, you know, follows the Jenkins builds and all that kind of stuff. So
that the sidecar, Jonathan?
That's the sidecar. So I just wanted to let you know that, you know, they had been pursuing that in terms of Dublin. But what you have to do is during Casablanca, get all those other things taken care of. So that's just to say that, you know, what we can do is if we have champions and all that kind of thing, we don't have to wait to El Alto and say, okay, now we start getting into a repository. Now we start seeing what we're going to do. The time to do those is say, well, are we serious about doing this? Get somebody to do it and then just start building into the process, which takes, you know, basically a release anyway. You know, I'm saying is that just because we wouldn't say, okay, it's all done in Dublin, if you found a champion and you wanted to move that way, then, you know, we could find spots, for instance, inside of there, just making sure that when builds happen that, you know, we don't get penalized in AF for that, if you would know what I mean. So,
I understand.
So we, you know, we've done this before for Sidecar and for other, you know, related semi AF-ish efforts, right? And we simply give them a spot to start working on it, and without the pressure of thou must deliver by end of Dublin with an entire solution, that's not going to happen.
Right. This I understand and I really support what you're saying, because even if we, like I said, if we wait for El Alto, it will not happen in El Alto, because it will, you will start, need to start what you just described in El Alto. So, I don't know.
Things have to be almost ready by the time the next release starts. You know, you can have just a little bit, you know, not there, because, you know, you can't, you know, not poison, but you can't put, you know, a bunch of things into Dublin that might compromise Dublin's release, you know. However, you can do a lot of building, a lot of setup, a lot of initial tests and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, so if you want to find somebody, you know, don't panic. You know, I don't think we should be panicked about not having Dublin requirements. I mean, if it's truly a direction, then it's a matter of getting somebody during this time frame to get started. As opposed to, we're going to commit for Dublin. That's not going to happen, you know.
No, yeah, I agree. So I it's very, but yet we need to find the champions. Again, I'm not sure if it will be me or somebody else, and also the resources, some resources that will take this development work in AAF and also in other, you know, in POC components, etc.
Yeah, I can tell you this, but you know, we're really, I have almost nothing in terms of resources this time. So, but I do have enough to, you know, kind of help get things started for somebody else who really wants to take it and run. And the other thing is, you know, there's got to be, you know, just like, you know, I had to deny essentially the CMP V2 because we simply do not have for Dublin, even though we might have gotten it. A couple of reasons. One is just, you know, reduced resources, but the other one is you got to have the core platform available in the test environment, you know, or you end up spending the whole release trying to get, you know, a CA started, and you know, you got 2 weeks at the end to write it to it. You know, that's not the way it works either. So, so just saying, we got to, we're all infrastructure. We have to remember that, you know, initial pieces like Istio itself has to be available within the environments before we can get really started. And same thing with the CA, but Amy knows that.
Yeah, so I had a question to move forward. You know, we did talk about a POC that Stephen brought up. So I think that we need to get, I think we need to identify a project that's willing to do some work on the side to see how to do the integration to see, you know, how it would work. It's not going to be part of their Dublin release, but to Jonathan's point, you know, it would be sitting kind of next to something else in the repo as a POC.
Yeah.
Because to me it seems like the question is what we're going to learn from that is what work do all the projects have to do to integrate with Istio. My guess is it's not just going to be as simple as plugging into Istio. They're probably going to have to rip some stuff out and that of their own code. And I think getting one project to try it that's going to be a learning experience so that we can quantify what is the level of effort to get other projects onto Istio.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get a project, but what I do recommend is that we get something that looks like a project. Okay, so everybody's RESTful interfaces for the, you know, a lot of them anyway. So we say, look, we're just going to stand up a small RESTful interface with, you know, a, you know, plausible number of calls, right? And we work with that. And the nice thing about that is that would end up being sample that, you know, people can build new things with and then model what they're doing on. So I don't think it, you know, to be honest, I've been on all the PTLs and everything else. They're not going to have any time because they're all resource stretched either. But I do think if we say, well, this is what most of the services look like, or this is what a Java one looks like, and here's the one that's written in JavaScript or whatever. Okay, come up with, you know, sample servlets, sample, you know, Node.js, et cetera, as a separate project, and then show how the security and stuff goes in and out. And it's also a lot easier to get running, and you don't have the, you know, the problem of, I want to test this, but now they're in integration test, so we have to turn it off or something like that. You know, so that we don't want to do that, but we want it to be plausible. Does that make sense? So it comes back to being a real POC without, you know, touching an individual project per se.
You know, it can even, you know, this one option. Other option is to even, you know, fork another component just to show how real ONAP component will work with Istio. Because, you know, it might be that only when you work with real ONAP component, you will find the real problem, you know.
Yeah,
real ONAP, maybe. A real ONAP component that use AAF today internally, and you want to switch to Istio controlling AAF for him.
Yeah.
To add something on top of this, right? We can't isolate this to one component. For example, for sidecar implementation, the incoming and outgoing proxies. So, for example, all the microservices are independent. So, let's take in AAF perspective, search service needs to talk to Elasticsearch. So, even though search service sidecar is implemented, Elasticsearch was not ready yet. So we couldn't test the flow end to end. I'm not sure for Istio it'll be the same case. So we might have to take one whole component like AI where all the dependent microservices also are enabled with ISTO. So that might be another case as well.
Right.
At the very least. Yeah, sorry, Amy.
No, go, Rule. Sorry.
So we can take one isolate, like I know I can talk about AI. We can take one flow, we can take one component. We can say that using, let's take search service and Elasticsearch. Search service, we can reach out to Postman. And from search service, we can go to Elasticsearch. So if we implement in search service and Elasticsearch using Postman, then we can get the flow testing for ISTO. But we need at least more than one microservice. It can't be just one. And I don't think it's language dependent because, like you said, Jonathan, at the end of the day, it's REST endpoints. So is language dependency really needed? Because we're doing it on the Kubernetes pod, right? Not, it's not language dependent. I think I may be wrong.
Why?
No, I don't think it's a language depend. Again, I think Istio proxy runs on the network layer, not on the software layer.
Exactly.
In some regards, so you don't really care what is the. It just, you know, forward, either forward or block.
Yeah.
In terms of security.
So I would say various kind of authentication, like HTTP user authentication or two-way protocol or one-way SSL. Those would be the valid test cases, not the languages.
Right. So I have the table comparing. For instance, you know, Istio doesn't support HTTP authentication, but you know, HTTP basic HTTP authentication supports certificate-based authentication. It can support the JSON. A format of the JSON web format. I don't recall the there's a standard or token JSON token format that it supports. So this is another flexibility need to be considered that you might not support the whole range of authentication methods. Anyhow, this when we decide on the POC, we need to select the, I think, the use cases which are more trivial to Istio and not take the complex one, right? We need to
start exactly.
So I think again, we probably the next step is to find, like I said, a champion and a project which willing to provide the base the sandbox of implementing this the Istio sidecar. Oh, maybe NAI is a good choice. I don't want to put a rule on the spot here, right? but it's require probably more discussion internally as well and see where we can find the resource. I think it's a my belief is that Istio is a time saver, right? It will allow a very easy integration and really decoupling software development from security, microservice development from security. So in the short term, it might require some effort, but in the long term, the benefit will be huge, including other goodies that Istio provides. So I don't think it would be hard to convince someone that has security task on his end to replace this security task with testing that with Istio, maybe this is will be a good approach to take that.
I have a bit of a 500-pound gorilla in the room question. we spent a long time working with Andrew. In fact, I spent so much time it kind of, you know, made it hard for me to actually complete what I was supposed to do. I don't see him and the sidecar, I don't see anything. Is that dead? Do I basically say, well, this code is dead? What are we doing with sidecar?
I don't think, for sure it's not dead. And I think they just completed the adopting it for some other NAI services. So by all means, it's not dead. But okay. I
haven't heard anything. It's like, well, it's building, you know, we worked through all the builds. Like I said, we found them a spot, you know, we did all the POMs and, you know, made sure everything was in CICD, but I haven't, you know, haven't heard word.
I think the most of the work is done in, as far as I know, in NAI, this is
okay.
The first component, which adopted this sidecar. And I think, again, I think this is a kind of probably evolution between this sidecar and the Istio sidecar. because in the end of the day, Istio can, with all the constraint, which you know, Andrew is very educated with about what he had to do in order to make it work with NAI. Working internally with AAF, right? NAI working with internal in AAF, and the sidecar kind of replacing that with the AAF CADI integration. You know, the sidecar, which you know is you're talking about, Jonathan, and I think the evolution of that is to replace this sidecar with an Istio-based sidecar that does more or less the same in a standard way, meaning connecting to AAF to via CADI or directly to AF to run the RBAC flows, the authentication flows, certificates, automation works via the Citadel, and maybe integrating with the AAF certification manager, and by that you know, allow this decoupling we all want.
So Istio is going to work along with the CADI sidecar then? Both are going to be in place. Is that the intent?
I think it's kind of, for my understanding, it should be evolution, right? We it's in theoretically, you can choose your own sidecar, right? You can say, service provider, you want your... You can,
sorry.
By using something like Istio, you allow, you prove that you can use even a non-Istio solution to provide this.
Okay.
You know, theoretically, you can have both options, you know, in AI, for instance, to use one sidecar or to use Istio and disable this sidecar. But once you have it working, you can decide which the approach you want to take forward, right?
Okay.
But again, I think we all understand that for now we need some more commitment from companies to invest in that. And
so what I'm hearing right now is we don't really have anybody who's got the resources to at least set up sample code and, you know, a couple of sample chunks of code with RESTful APIs that we could show an integration with Istio. Am I correct in that?
I think the short answer, yes. The long answer is yes, but we need to maybe run some mail thread between some optional candidate, both from providing resources and from providing the champions, and then decide what is the best next step. Because we might find there is somebody that wants to take it forward. Considering he has the community support of taking that forward, like Jonathan said, that we will get a repo, that's great to put this stuff, because it's hard to do it without a repo. And sometimes it's challenging by itself.
I'll tell you, you know, it's I'm trying to put this in the best spin possible. It's very, because I don't want to sound negative, but you know, we're all, you know, doing CI/CD and everything like that. And once it works, you know, then it's a great time saver. But I tell you, if you're coming in, you know, if you haven't done this particular one, then, you know, it takes a very long time to get things instantiated and, you know, who gets what, who gets, you know, there's a lot of details just to get involved in the process. You know, even just the repo, you know, again, I'm willing to, you know, find, you know, carve the spot, say, hey, this is what it should look like, that kind of thing. And, you know, so that we can actually have it within a project, you know, even that is a good step, right? Because right. If you don't have that, you can't, you know, then you're not in any of the CI/CD. That's kind of what we did for Sidecar, because we put it in our repo and it's there, you know, they basically were able to plug it into CI/CD. Okay. But it's very daunting for anybody just to start from scratch, the more it builds. The other question I had was, in your POCs, did you work within the context of OOM, or you believe it's outside of the need of OOM?
Now, first, I didn't do any POC, a formal POC. I think there was a POC done by some company.
Was that the MSB POC?
Yes. Yeah, there was an MSB POC done, and I think it's done. Yes, OM is a charter repository, right? And at the end of the day, OM is not a real component. It's a charter repository, and yes, I think the ZTE guys, install via OM and then run some additional steps to inject the sidecars.
Yeah. And the only reason I bring that up is because it really is, you know, just how to get things into Kubernetes. Once it's in Kubernetes, then you're fine. Even that is different than somebody who may have already known something about Kubernetes now has to figure out all the ways OOM does it. Some of them are consistent with what you may want to do, and some of them aren't, right? So it's just a big learning curve there, as most of us can attest. Okay, so that's, I don't think Istio itself is affected by that, but anything that you want to integrate, you know, I'm sure you have to plug in the sidecar. Where does that go? You know, what part of the chart does it go in? You know, do we match what the OOM, you know, variable names are and where they have their, you know, all that charting stuff? You know, that's
actually
it's somewhat complex as they're trying to manage an entire set of projects within that structure. So it's not as easy as just creating, for instance, the Helm chart. I'm just saying those are the challenges.
Completely agree. And I see, actually, one example is that there was a guy in the face-to-face in Nokia in January that he tried to integrate Istio with the ONAP as well for demonstrating Clever, which is another project in Linux Foundation, OpenNV. And he showed some, you know, problem in ONAP chart, which blocks the automatic injection of sidecars into ONAP chart. So yes, you cannot decouple. You have to, OM has to be aware and actually be, maybe even be the ultimate repo for this Istio implementation configuration at least.
Yeah.
Because
we need a champion to say, okay, let's go ahead and organize this POC and try and get resources. I don't think it has to fall within the release life cycle and a project manager to have the repo where this is under there. I think AEF could be a possibility, but with no champion, this doesn't move forward.
Steven, I'd just like to add one more point. It's good to have a champion, but like Jonathan and Evie was just mentioning, it's highly integrated with OOM as well, because with all the new sidecar implementation, Helm chart sites is increasing and OOM is having issues left and right, OOM team. So would it be good to call somebody from that team to contribute that idea as well? So either Michael or...
Sorry.
No problem, Amy. There are Michael and Brian. Michael O'Brien and Mike Elliott, I think. So maybe we can invite somebody from that team and talk about Istio and sidecar implementation. That'd be my suggestion.
So I think that ultimately, Steve, you hit the nail on the head. We've got to have somebody who's going to champion the Istio. They're going to need to work with Michael O'Brien and others and actually carve out some time and find people who are willing to work on a POC. At this point, it's not going to be part of an on-app release. It's going to be a side effort that, you know, once the details are worked out, like how do you integrate it with OOM? What does a project need to, because you don't want every project figuring it out themselves. You want to really give them a how-to. And so without that champion who's essentially going to project manage this POC, I don't think we'll make forward progress. I mean, that's kind of my two cents. So Avi, are you willing to, and I know this is putting you on the spot, but would you be...
Let's not do that. Let's allow people to contact you offline, you and...
Okay, great.
Contact offline and just put a short follow-up point next Wednesday.
Okay, great.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Avi, thanks so much. This is great information.
No problem. Always. As always.
As you saw in the chat, you have a place to put the epics now. You just need to have the right label. Oh, the JIRAs, sorry, not the epics.
Okay. Great.
For the ONAP security, the general requirements.
Super.
Next topic, Amy.
Yes, the next one just came up yesterday. And that is, let me get this back up here.
You're not sharing.
Yeah, no. All right. So yesterday I got an email from Phil Robb who said that there is $100,000 that the Linux Foundation is going to fund for a third party.
100K or 10K?
I thought he said 100K. Maybe it was 10K. 10K, we're not going to get much done if memory serves. 100K. LFN is being sponsored approximately 100K to perform third-party security audit on the ONAP code base. So I wanted to, so first off, I know, Christoph, Samsung is doing the pen test. So the first, one of the things I wanted to figure out first is what exactly are you doing in the pen test? Because I don't think we want to spend money duplicating what you've already done, but I do think that so we need to find out what you've done, and then work from there, because this would be great to get a third party in again to do the code base audit, whatever that might mean.
What I was thinking about this is, I mean, you could take this around two ways. I think it's you're correct regarding we need to, let's say, not replicate what's been done with the Samsung's leading, and we all appreciate that. So let's not sort of double the effort on that one, and identify a little bit what is the requirements that you want from such an audit, because otherwise we will just throw company names around. Oh, so and so could do this, or let's start up a company, we could do this, but without really stating what we want. So if we can state what we want, and then maybe we can come back to Phil, and people can have suggestions of suppliers that could do that. But I mean, just to start with a bunch of interesting suppliers, I think might be the wrong way. So what is it that we really want? And I would say someone would take the lead on saying, we want a review of all the projects that does a security scan that does this, and it's looking for that, and so on there. But
that's a great idea.
Because otherwise, I mean, if we get more than one company that's interested in this, which would be a great situation to be in, what's the guidance for selecting besides price? It says there's a need to take a, I'm just taking the notes, there's a need to take a lead on.
No, I know you're not taking lead.
No, I'm just saying, I'm taking notes. So next steps, I need to identify.
Right. So, so I think that we do need to figure out what it is, the requirements. Christoph, maybe could, do you have a write-up of what testing you're so far doing on the Casablanca release? Because I know you are. I know Samsung is doing the pen test, and I'm assuming you're still on the call. Yes, you are.
A security audit sounds a little bit different to a penetration test, right?
That's what I think, but that's why I wanted to know what kind of overlap there was. You know, I agree. Usually a pen test is, you know, kind of external. You're not reviewing code and that. To me, a code-based audit was actually looking at the code.
But who may know what the requirements might be of such an audit? And I was going to also think of, it may relate to what Samuel has been doing regarding the threat analysis, right? So some of the conclusions from the threat analysis, okay, we have to look into this, this, and this, would be requirements in my mind.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And maybe someone has someone experienced with identifying these types of requirements in one of the cupboards in their company. We could get them out of the cupboard and get them to give us a hand here.
Yeah, I mean, we have some experiences, but maybe just to check. I mean, quite often these audits also check something on the way of working and processes. But is it now clear that this will only be the code base, the scope of this?
I think it's a slogan level at the moment. If I read the email correctly, it's a slogan level sort of, okay, we've got something for a security audit of the code base. And it's up to SecCom to come back and say how we think that slogan could be filled in with content to actually make it useful for ONAP.
Yeah.
And if we think it's the processes, but I would also say that that has a relation to the CEO badging. But that could be an input. I don't have experience with this, so I can't really provide more guidance than that.
I can look back. We've done. I've been involved in a couple of things like this, but I'll look back. You know, a lot of times the companies that want to come in and do this really just want to do pen testing. They don't really want to do code. They're not really doing code reviews. They'll look at architecture. They run a series of really just code checks. Or you know the pen testing tool type of things.
But so, that sounds like that would already be covered by what Samson is helping out with.
That's what I was thinking. But if somebody actually is, if we can find somebody who's willing to come in and start looking at the code itself, running you know different types of tests on the code itself, not just not just.
It could be a boost for the static code static code scanning.
That's what I'm thinking, and also even a little bit more sophisticated than that. That you know, not just this. Well, the syntax looks a little bit weird, but hey, that's a false positive. But really, starting to go in and looking at the code coverage tests that are there, analyzing you know how good those are. What they're actually covering in the code. I think that could be a real boost. But if they're just going to come in and do a pen test, that duplicates Samsung.
I would suggest that if we have interested people in this, that they contact you and Powell, and then once you have that, organize a meeting with Phil to get his version of this, and then move from there.
Okay.
Because I'm not hearing a volunteer at the moment, and we're at always the same point, you know.
I would love to volunteer, but if I had to come out another one, then I'm already volunteering for the vulnerability management as they come through for scanning through them. So if I can get out of that, then I can do work on this one. I can't do both. That's my only issue.
Understood.
And we're almost at the top of the hour. We need to take a look at what the vulnerability reviews tables looked like for the Casablanca maintenance release. I have glanced at them. I don't think that there's a big difference between what they had for Casablanca and what they've had for Casablanca maintenance, but we just need to go through and do that. I'll get with Powell. I'll start doing mine. Arul, I'll get with you because you volunteered to help.
Yeah, I did.
And Steve, don't want to put you on that spot. I want to get you doing less on SecCom because you've got enough on your plate with the architecture subcommittee. So when Powell gets back from vacation, I'll talk to him.
I appreciate it.
All right, so we'll make sure that everybody, so like Steve said, anybody who's interested in this code, in the code base audit, please contact Powell and I, and we'll figure out how to move forward on this, because it would be, depending on what it means, I think it's a good opportunity. And with that, I think, is there anything else? We're almost, yes.
Just for some of the logistics, do you have a few minutes after this, once you stop recording? We could stand this here. It was just for the uploading of the minutes and so on.
I think so. Let me double check.
It's just when you get to finish the meeting, just you can stop the recording, then we can go into the
logistics. Yeah, I have a couple minutes. Okay, so thank you all.